Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is not college football anymore.
Greg Cosell.
Just go out there, put some things on film.
We'll see it on film.
Analyst for ESPN NFL Matchup.
The other thing that jumped out, learning from film.
Watching film a lot.
Now we break it down on film.
That really comes with studying film.
Senior producer for NFL Films for over three decades.
Hicks is clearly one of the best in the league at his position. Bullard and Goldman have played well. I think Nichols has played well. I think Trevathan and Smith is in a good situation here.
Breaking down the film for every Bears game.
You don't watch Jordan Howard and go, wow, look at him run. But to me, this year, he looks a little bit heavy, a little bit sluggish, a little bit slower. And I think that's a part of it, to be honest with you.
Film doesn't lie.
Greg Cosell with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental Difference. From the NFL Matchup Show and four decades of watching film at NFL Films, he is Greg Cosell to make us smarter. How you doing today, Greg?
Danny, what's happening?
Well, there's so much here, and obviously Bears-Packers and the NFC North on the line is huge, but I want to look back for a minute with you. Mitch Trubisky's first game back after missing two due to injury leads to three interceptions. What did you see?
He was not particularly sharp, but I wasn't necessarily surprised by that. I thought that, you know, each interceptions, I've always believed, you have to look at each of them individually. You can't just look at a number. The first one was a really difficult throw to make, and he sailed the ball, but that was a very tight window throw that demanded precise timing and ball placement. And it was just a really difficult throw, and he was inaccurate. The second one was just a bad read. I don't know what he was looking at, but that's something he must see post-snap. It was just a poor read and therefore a poor throw. The third one was an inaccurate throw. The throw was there, and you got to make it. Pretty simple.
What the Bears did against the best defensive player in the league was remarkable. They said, if Dante Fowler can beat us, fine, let him, but we're going to take care of Aaron Donald tonight with lots of help. I thought that was an artful exhibition in scheming a very good defensive tackle.
Yeah, he was not really a major factor in the game, which was really interesting. And, you know, the game played out where they could run the football. They were really effective with some RPOs, run-pass options with Tariq Cohen. There's two that I can specifically remember. I think the 32-yard run and a 23-yard run were both RPOs. The 32-yard run, I didn't really understand what the Rams' approach was because they put five defenders in the box, which you rarely see at the NFL level. But I thought that the Bears did a really nice job, not only with their O-line, but with some scheming in the run game. And that really limited Aaron Donald. He was not a factor in the game at all.
Greg, just sorry, one more thing on Mitch from last week. Did it look mechanically, even on the non-interceptions, did he look off to you?
I don't think he's a great, you know, fundamentally sound quarterback as far as mechanics.
Right, so, you've talked about him not being a natural thrower of the football.
And he's not. So that doesn't mean he can't make throws. We've seen him make very good throws. I've always believed, going back to watching him in depth when he came out of college, he's a little bit of a locked front leg thrower. He drops his arm a little bit. He's not a smooth, comfortable thrower of the football. But again, you know, you can take that for what it's worth. That, as I said, that doesn't mean he can't end up being a quality quarterback. Do I think Mitchell Trubisky, when all said and done, will be, you know, at the high level of NFL quarterbacks, the way we talk about, you know, the top three or four guys? My guess would be no, but in a well-schemed offense with good players around him and a run game that can be a factor, I think he can be an efficient player over time. But I think he'll go through some ups and downs for a bit here as he works through all this.
I should have mentioned, by the way, Greg Cosell from NFL Films joins us on the Aurelio's Pizza Hotline. It's the sauce.
It has always been the sauce. Tell him Joe sent you. What challenge? Packers do get after the quarterback pretty well, Greg. What challenges does the Green Bay defense pose for Trubisky and the Bears Sunday?
You know, the Green Bay defense is interesting. They're very personnel-based, and by that I mean you'll see them play base defense. You'll see them play nickel. You'll see them play dime. They play a ton of dime, which is six defensive backs. So, in fact, they've played almost as many snaps with six defensive backs as they have five defensive backs this year. So they put a lot of different players out there. Jari Alexander is probably their best corner, and at times he travels with the opposition's number one. He did that last week with Julio Jones. Does he do that with Allen Robinson? We'll see. They've been playing Tony Brown, the rookie from Alabama, as their other outside corner, and Josh Jackson, the rookie from Iowa. So they're starting three rookies at corner when they go to their nickel and their dime.
And then we were talking earlier today about Chris Jones from the Chiefs, and you know Akeem Hicks gets a lot of love. The Packers have Kenny Clark. Obviously, they're all chasing Aaron Donald. This is like a renaissance time for the interior defensive lineman pass rusher.
Without question. I mean, I was talking with a good friend of mine who works over at the Eagles, Fran Duffy, and we were talking about defensive tackles in the NFL now, and that you start going through a list of top 10, and you get to 10, and you're still talking about some really good players.
Right, Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a really good group of D-tackles in the league right now. Obviously, the ones who can rush the quarterback and get sacks come to mind more often than not, but there's a number of really good run defenders. You look at Damon Harrison. The Lions are not having a great year, but since he got to Detroit, their run defense has improved dramatically just because he's a phenomenal run defender.
Let's talk about linebackers. Everybody just gets all giddy over Khalil Mack, but and deservedly so to a large degree, but I don't know if Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan and recently Leonard Floyd have been given the credit they deserve. What have you seen from them in terms of...
Well, I would agree. I mean, I think that Trevathan to me has always been a solid pro. You know, again, the way inside linebackers are always difficult for people because normally they don't get a lot of sacks, and normally they play the run and they play in coverage. I think Trevathan is very, very solid at both, and they use him at times as a fourth rusher when they go to what we call their zone exchange concept. Zone exchange meaning you add a linebacker or a DB as a rusher, but it's still a four-man rush, and you're dropping out a defensive lineman. I think that Roquan Smith has gotten better and better and better as the season's progressed, and you see why he was drafted. I believe it was eighth. You see the sideline-to-sideline range, the inside-out speed. He's a really good player, and I think you can see that he's playing with his eyes better, and he's getting much more comfortable.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films is our guest to look ahead at the Bears' next opponent, which obviously leads to a lot of Aaron Rodgers conversation in this town, Greg. Has his talent slipped?
I don't think his talent has slipped. I think that, to me, guys, he's always been one of the most fascinating quarterbacks to evaluate because he's ridiculously talented, but he's a quarterback that often leaves throws on the field because he doesn't necessarily throw to open receivers in the structure of the offense. Now, he might do that and then move on and make a phenomenal play. So the way I would describe Rodgers, and think about this, is I would say that he can make something out of nothing, he can make nothing out of something, and he can make something out of something. So you almost don't know what you're going to get. I watched his tape this week, and it was just more of the same. And obviously, their whole playbook's not going to be changed in a week with a new coach, so it's relatively the same stuff. And there were three or four throws where the receivers were wide open within structure, and he's looking in that area, and he doesn't turn it loose. And he's been that way much of his career. And then he'll make three or four plays that are ridiculous. I mean, obviously the touchdown throw he made to Cobb this week, which was within structure, was a great, great throw. A precise ball placement throw that you couldn't have handed it to Cobb any better.
What explanation do you have for that?
I have no explanation because I don't know what's in his head. You know, so I couldn't, and I'm being honest, I couldn't begin to answer that. You'd have to ask him, and I'm not saying you guys are going to ask him, but I mean, he's the only one who can could answer that question. But he's been doing that for a good 2, 3, 4 years now. He didn't do it as much earlier in his career when he was building his unbelievable resume, but he's been doing it for the last 2, 3, 4 years. Now, he's still a great player, and he's still incredibly difficult to defend for the reasons you guys suggested. But it's just, for someone like me, who's probably a little old school, probably because I'm old, but I mean, you know, I look at the position as a subtle craft, you know, a subtle nuance, discipline, craft position. And while he's more than capable of playing it that way, he doesn't, to me, often enough, for my taste. Hey, people will probably call me crazy. I've been called worse.
Why haven't they gotten what they thought they were going to get in Jimmy Graham this year?
I think some of that's a function of Rodgers. I think some of that's a function of Graham when you watch the tape. And I try never to talk about a guy's effort level and his competitiveness, because that's for a professional athlete, that's the worst thing you could possibly say, and you really don't know. I would just say that the tape shows a player that doesn't seem to play with a lot of urgency. But I think he's in a tough situation. He was at his best in New Orleans in one of the most well-schemed, well-structured, well-executed offenses around. Then he went to Seattle, where it was much of improvisation, and he didn't do as well. And now he's in a system where there's much improvisation, and he doesn't do as well.
Brian Bulaga, the Packers' right tackle, is questionable. Both guards out, one on IR, one expected to be out in this game. Do they have any prayer against the Bears' pass rush?
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I made a note of that I wanted to mention that to you guys, that with the two guards, that's a concern, a real concern for the Packers and a real positive for the Bears, because I think that those two guards who are playing now struggle at times in both in the run game and certainly in one-on-one pass protection. And I think that if Spriggs plays right tackle, you have some issues there as well for the Packers. So I think that's an area where the Bears must really exploit it.
Is Aaron Jones a better ball player than the Packers coaching staff has allowed him to prove?
I loved Aaron Jones coming out of UTEP. In some ways, And I know the guy I'm going to mention is going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm talking stylistically. In some ways, when I watched him at UTEP, he reminded me stylistically of Frank Gore. And I really like him as a runner. And I think he's their best back. And he ended up, I think, with 17 carries last week. But they haven't really truly used him as a feature back. And I think they should.
Speaking of the running game, the Bears finally had a good one last week against the Rams. Did you see any rhyme or reason as to why?
Well, not necessarily in terms of you know, necessarily scheming, but I thought that Jordan Howard, to me, he's a volume runner, because he's not really an explosive pretty back. He's a volume runner. And they put him in the gun. They featured inside zone, both straight inside zone and zone read schemes. You know, I think if you want him to be a factor, you have to give him the ball. And I think, obviously, last week's game played out that way. You know, it all depends, I think, on the score of the game. But to me, he needs volume, because he's kind of a sustainer. He's not explosive. So, he's a grinder.
So should the Bears be able to run against the Packers?
Should they be able to? You know, that's... You know, the Packers have been up and down as far as their defense, but I think that ultimately the Bears are going to have to try to run. Now, there's multiple ways to run. We talked about the RPOs with Tariq Cohen, who, by the way, has had 33 touches in the last two games, averaging 8 yards per touch. That's pretty good. So we'll see. I mean, it'll come down, I think, to their defense, the Bears' defense, and if they can control the game that way, then I think that they'll run the football.
Anytime Frank Gore's name gets mentioned, we got to check the temperature of the person who brings it up, because texters demand it. We've been debating Frank Gore in the Hall of Fame without telling you how we differ. What's your thought?
I think it's a no-brainer. How could you not put a guy in the Hall of Fame? We've been playing football for a lot of years, have we not?
Tell your boy that.
A lot of years.
Tell Mr. Parkins.
So, if only, what, how many guys have rushed for more yards than Frank Gore in the history of the NFL?
I believe it's three.
Three.
So how does that not make Frank Gore a Hall of Fame? You're not going to give me the argument that, well, he was never considered the best back in the league, are
you? That's his argument.
I will. It leads to
He's an unbelievable player, great durability, was never considered the best in the league, only had one truly elite season, was never an all-pro, no playoff accomplishments to speak of.
So how many guys
And he's not even top 20 in touchdowns.
How many guys do what he did in terms of consistency at that position over that period of time?
But is consistency the metric that gets you into the Hall of Fame? Or is it excellence?
At that position, I would say it's a major factor because there's very – so let me ask you a question. Do you think Terrell Davis should be in the Hall of Fame?
Higher peak. So, I mean, I think he's got a better argument. Yeah, I do because I look at it
playing,
as excellence.
So being a playing 4 years should get you into the Hall of Fame.
And the Super Bowl success and the playoff success. And by the way, I don't think Terrell Davis is should be a slam dunk Hall of Famer either. It's really tough to make the Football Hall of Fame. And when I looked at his numbers.
Apparently, it's not as tough as it used to be. I know that I've talked to, I'm not on the committee, but I know a lot of people who are. And there's a lot of people who get in now who, you know, are very debatable.
Yeah, well, when I looked at Frank Gore, I was shocked because you see the yard compilation and that he's top five now fourth.
But
Corey Dillon, Greg, Ricky Waters, they got more rushing touchdowns than Frank Gore.
Yeah, do they have more rushing yards than Frank Gore?
No, they don't.
Okay, so now, so the barometer is touchdowns?
Well, it's just one of many barometers.
He's been doing it for 14 years.
I just have a tough time with a guy that only three players in the history of the game have rushed for more yards, not saying he's a Hall of Famer.
We had a Hall of Fame voter on, one of 50 whatever, Dan Pompey. He said he definitely wasn't a slam dunk case.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's in the room, so he knows how people feel. I'm not in the room. I'm just giving you my pointless point of view, as Billy Joel once said.
Hey, it's Sports Talk Radio. It's all pointless point of views, Greg.
We old-timers got to stick together on this one. Thank you.
Hey, and I'm an old-timer, believe me.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, man.
We'll talk to you. That's Greg Cosell from NFL Films. I think he's a fascinating case. I do.
It really is. There's good arguments on both sides of it.
And it makes me feel like a Frank Gore hater, where it's like, nah, he's just...
No.
Call a very
no,
good.
No, it's not call being a, very a good. Hater. Right.
Yeah, you know, text line, everything has to be so black and white. I think it's a really tough Hall of Fame to get into.
There are great arguments for and against. That's the great thing about debate.
It is. Oh, I love it so much. Especially about pointless, trivial things that don't ultimately matter. I mean, it matters to Frank Gore. But, yeah. But
I was mad about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for about 90 seconds the other day. Yeah. Then I said, "What? Really? Am I going to get uptight about this?"
Then you continued living your life.
Okay, I'm good. Where's my next glass of eggnog? There it is.
Who do you love at the end of the hour? Olin Krutz at 4. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
They went after McManus first. Top-notch entry man. He was a good guy. Crazy, though.
Sherrick McManus sitting in for the duration of this football season. Bryce Callahan out with a hoof for the duration of the season.
McManus was crazy.
It's dry sand, McManus. When he rots, the surfers are going to smell him from a mile away.
We did more jobs together.
He was crazy, wasn't he? Yeah, counted
McManus,
more money.
He told us another story altogether.
Is that a moment to hook him with a dysentery? Got to work Benny into it, don't we? Yeah, can't do usual suspects without getting Fenster on board.
No, but it's a really selfish the Bears don't have anyone named Fenster or that rhymes with Fenster.
Oh, God, someday maybe they'll get one.
Yeah, so we got to go to
maybe
McManus.
Maybe they'll get a married guy. Maybe they'll get a Hockney Fenster.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah, Todd Hockney. That
seems unlikely, but it would be beautiful. Usual suspects.
It occurred to me over the last couple of days, we haven't played the usual suspects for Sherrick McManus. It's time to roll that out, so we did, on a feel-good fast Friday, as Matt Nagy likes to call it.
Yeah, rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Feel-good fast Friday, oh yeah, whatever it is. I don't know, I'm feeling good. Teams are in a good spot heading into the weekend. The weather sucks, but who cares?
Yeah, well, it's indoor time this year. Lots of options for movies tomorrow for Patrick and me. Lots of things right in his wheelhouse that are playing right now. And Dan Bernstein's kid is playing probably about 9 minutes from my house. Jason's playing goaltender tomorrow for their squad. And I went last year when I was invited. And I don't know if I was invited, but Dan did mention it to me today.
Oh, you can go.
So I'll probably stop by.
It's a home game.
Patrick likes wandering around ice arenas and making friends in the pro shop and just, you know, meeting the people.
That's good.
Yeah, he's a social guy.
He is, yeah.
He gets out there and gets after it.
He is. So lots to do tomorrow. I think it's probably a good day to put the Christmas tree up, don't you?
You're a little
late,
buddy.
That's what I'm saying. Tomorrow might be a good day to get on.
Traditionally, before Christmas is when you like to have it up, yes.
Yeah, I get the same thing.
Yeah, I do. Usually it's up by Thanksgiving, but it's just been, I'm behind schedule, you know?
Yeah, well, so do you put your Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving?
I usually put it up. When we host Thanksgiving, I like to have it up. We didn't host this year.
Interesting.
So, yeah, the Christmas tree didn't get put up. The windows didn't get washed again.
Don't worry about the windows.
Yeah, get to them next spring, right? You know, look outside the windows and see snow. Instead, I see dirty windows.
Yeah.
Right. No big deal.
It's fine.
But it is a good time. I'm going to get on that tomorrow. Lots to do tomorrow.
Well, the Christmas season.
Decorate
good.
The house. Yep.
Yeah, you'll feel good. It improves the mood.
Oh God, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm Jewish, and we still have a little wreath, and we got the fake tree, and we got the sports ornaments on there. Get some lights.
As per mandated by your building, you guys decorate accordingly. Isn't that a thing?
There's no. I'm talking inside. We got a little thing on the mantle and all that. Mm-hmm. Nothing from the building. Although it'd be nice. There's no common area really in my building. My building's just.
That's what I hated most about living in a. Apartment complex or building was that like all the rules and stipulations, your wreath's on the door after January 2nd and you're getting written up and there's a note under your door. The
written
hell
up?
Yes.
Right. Well, what
ultimately
what are
they
going to do? Yeah.
Like they could fine you more like of the monthly fee if you're. You
really?
Yes.
For leaving a wreath on past
your wreath
the
was
3rd
on your
January.
Door after a certain date in January.
Hmm.
Like condo association winter. Boards just seem like
they're
the
a
most
bunch of people. The damn life is what it is.
Yeah, they seem miserable. We don't own, so we're not invited
moan
to join.
About this, so I'm going to.
Yeah, they like
the cardboard box that you set by your car in your parking spot. I can't. Oh, I'm so happy I got out of that place.
Yeah, they like hanging in our place like flyers. There's always a flyer at the mailbox. There's a flyer.
John McClare's just up there.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's in the elevator and the mailbox, and it's all nonsense about things that don't matter.
Hey, do you like not having to shovel your snow there?
Oh, listen, I love not having any responsibility.
Then, yeah, you love the condo association, okay?
You don't strike any of us as a Toro man.
No, I assume that's a snowblower
that would be,
of
yes,
sorts.
A small gas engine, yes. You know, a snowblower.
Yeah, Francesa.
Right, Francesa's snowblower, yeah.
Multiple texters, right. Thank you very much. Feel good fast Friday. Mob.
Feel good fast Friday.
Yeah, mob.
Did I have it? Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Did I
yeah.
have it out of sequence?
No.
Several people are suggesting that you put the Andy Reid tree up. I love that one. Yes.
I would love to get an Andy Reid ornament. I got a lot of sports ornaments on my tree because I would get those as kids, you know, the Hallmark ornaments of like the athlete of the year, whoever that was. Mm-hmm. And so I got all those athletes.
The Andy Reid tree?
Hmm. It's beautiful this time of year.
I hope Andy Reid wins a Super Bowl, unless the Bears are in it. That would silence a lot of people who don't give him the credit he deserves.
Well, we were just talking Hall of Fame. If he wins a Super Bowl and hangs around for, let's just say Patrick Mahomes signs, it feels pretty safe to say that he'll be good enough to warrant a second contract from the Chiefs. Feels fairly
I
safe.
I think that's a lock, yeah.
Okay, so let's say that Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid are together for the next 10 years, and Andy Reid coaches into his late 60s or maybe 70 years old. Think that puts Andy Reid as a Hall of Famer if he gets a ring?
He's got a real good shot at getting into the Hall of Fame, yeah.
I would think so, too. I would say now, no.
Probably not.
Like, if he retired tomorrow, I'd guess no. It's tough to get into the Football Hall of Fame. It's real hard for coaches to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But he will be. He's got a shot at top five in wins if he coaches that much longer, mm-hmm. and he gets a ring, and all of the coaches that he put into the league, and then the number of playoff games.
Yeah,
I think he gets it.
You look at a couple of the coaches who have been hoisting trophies during Andy Reid's, you know, his run as a head coach. You got the greatest coach in sports history, arguably. Bill Belichick's won 5 of them.
Right.
So
it's tough to
do. That'll kill some opportunities for you right there.
Well, yeah, that's the Rivers argument, right? He was a great quarterback in the AFC in the era of Brady, Manning, and Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not – so when like last night they're showing the graphic of, you know, Eli with the 2 and Roethlisberger with the 2, and then there's Phillip Rivers right in the middle. He's 7th all-time or 8th all-time in passing yards. Those guys are 6, 7, and 8.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the order of Eli, Roethlisberger, and Rivers in terms of passing yards all-time. But it's like, okay, yeah, he doesn't have the rings, but when you watch them play – You telling me that Rivers is the third best of those guys? Hell no.
No, no, I can't go that far. I would like to say I've given up my Philip Rivers fatigue. I don't know what it was. He rubbed me wrong for a number of years, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Maybe it's the kids. He's got all the kids, and he's got mouths to feed. I'm off of that, and if he gets a chance to play on a big stage at the age of 37, good for him. He's deserved it. And Antonio Gates, while he doesn't run very well, is still out there chugging.
Did you guys see Rivers last night giving the fake high fives to the Kansas City faithful as he's exiting the field?
No.
He's doing that. Yeah, all right, good game. Thanks, guys. Yeah. It's great.
He is such a dork, but he's the best kind of dork because he's truly himself. And yet, Gates was the guy who was like, he was, like, selling his speed. He'd be, like, lumbering down the field. He's like, all right, I know I only have, like, 3 steps in me where I can be fast. So he would try to do it at the top of the route and, like, change directions. He's, like, the crafty, like, you know, YMCA guy, like, in basketball, like, old man game, like, the hook shot and the bang shot off the glass. That's 38-year-old Antonio Gates.
Yeah, I think you're going to like this, Danny. I just went to search to see if there are Andy Reid Christmas ornaments available
for
you.
Andy Reid tree?
Andy Reid Christmas OR. Mm. What's the second item that comes up?
Orders 3 steaks. Google predicted text is savage.
I love it.
It is so savage.
Oh. There's got to be a story behind that. They're just not just some. It's not random. It's an algorithm. I'm sure there's a story out there.
Yeah,
about Andy Reid ordering 3 steaks.
Yeah, there's got to be. Yep.
Complete the search. I don't know what it is.
I've got stories about Andy wearing a Santa Claus costume. That was last year. I've got the Kansas City Chiefs Christmas ornament. But it looks like this is going to have to be homemade.
Oh, well, we can do that.
And that's doable. I can commission Jay Zawoski to do that. He made me a Vern Lundquist ornament years back, and it's one of my favorites. I giggle every time I pull it out of the box. So I got that to look forward to tomorrow.
The Andy Reid 3 steak story is told from Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie. His dinner with him when he hired him to be the Eagles coach. He said, second time I ever think I went out to dinner with Andy, we order and we go around the table and everyone orders their dish, but Andy asks for 3. 3! It wasn't one, like, I'll have 1 steak or whatever it is. He asked for 3 and it was just like normal, so everyone sort of just went, okay.
He was undecided, you know? You go with a
Porter
rib
house.
Behind you. Yeah, I mean, I have that problem sometimes. I can't decide, so I'll get 2. I don't think I've ever done 3.
He gets the 10
That's
ounce.
That's impressive.
The 10-ounce filet for dessert. You know, it's a lighter cut.
Yeah, right. Smooth. You know, it's just put it on a sandwich, and you cut it with a butter knife. Yeah, that's easy.
Well, it's just funny because he's unapologetically himself, and he will be self-deprecating about how much he likes to eat and his weight, even though he's looking much better now than his peak.
Well, he's put some back. He's on the yo-yo thing, it appears.
Which,
he was thinner last year.
Yeah, that's true, but still.
This 13 personnel. Andy Reid calls it his rhino package.
He loves that. And then, yeah, when he got the Chiefs job from Philly, you know, people would ask him about Philly cheesesteaks, and then he'd get asked about barbecue, and he was trying to be very, like, a politician. He's like, I can't pick a favorite barbecue spot. I just want them to all send it over to me and try. And there was literally, like, a month where Kansas City barbecue spots were just sending over, you know, samples to Arrowhead so that he could taste it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and he broke
it
down.
Just terrific. I like him.
Ribs, brisket, burnt ends. He likes it all.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
What's not to like? Do you go live tree, by the way?
No, never have.
Never have.
I mean, when I was a kid, my dad would strap a tree to the roof of his Plymouth, and we'd chug down the road.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but no.
When I was a kid, we had live trees, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, you know, my dad, you know, gets in there, and he installs it, and it's this, like, 9-foot, 10-foot tree, and then you got water and the skirt
yeah,
and all.
It seems
a lot of
like
work.
Extra work. It does.
It was cool when my dad did the work.
Yeah, right.
And now I'm like, are you crazy? I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, yeah. I've got, I'm going to get at least one of them up tomorrow. I've got 2. I think at this point, I'm just going to be happy to get one of them deployed for Christmas.
Deployed?
Deployed, yes.
It's an interesting verb choice.
Well, yeah.
Assembled.
Erected.
Yeah, well, whatever. But it's just funny also, like, if it's a fake tree, it's 2 seconds. I mean, I know we're lazy here, but
it's a little trickier than that. You've got all the there's a lot of chords that you have to find the female and male and line them up, and it's a little, you can get it done in 15 minutes usually to assemble one, but it's a pain in the neck.
Wow,
all those things, heavy tree scratching your skin, and it's
the fake tree is a pain in the neck.
The fake tree is a little bit of a, but it's in the house. You don't have to go out and get it.
Fully agree. When you bring a thing out of the box and you have to undo each of the arms of the tree or branches, I guess the fake branches. Extreme pain in the ass.
You guys are Grinches.
I mean, love Christmas. Doesn't mean that the fake tree isn't a pain in the rear.
But compared to a real tree, like if you've made the decision, I'm having a tree of some sort, the fake tree is much easier than the real tree, yes?
It's all one swift move with the big tree, isn't it? I've never had the real big tree, like the real tree.
You got to get it in a stand. It's an actual tree. You got to keep it alive. You got to water the tree. The pine needles.
It's kind of dead when you saw it off, isn't it?
You're not really keeping it alive. It's done.
You saw it from its root. I think it's kind of done.
There's water in the Christmas tree stand.
I don't think so.
You water it,
but it's not going to live.
I mean, I could be wasting my time. I am in a lot of ways, but I've been watering my tree every couple of days. As a matter of fact, the wife and I argue how much it should be watered. She's like, oh, once a week. And I'm like, it's got to be more than that. So, like, after she goes to bed, get in front of the water, like, there you go, little tree. There you go, some more water for you. Don't let that evil lady tell you that you don't need water.
And then you got the pine needles that come down from the real tree. You got to sweep them up all the time.
Yeah.
Real trees are much bigger pain than a fake tree.
Artificial trees also occasionally shed. You find little sticks all over the place.
But not as much as a real
tree.
This sounds a lot like a real tree, these fake trees. What's the point?
You don't have to water them, and you buy them one time.
I guess
time.
You save money. Yeah, I know. You could just leave them assembled and just wheel them off into a closet or something if you really want to maximize the lack of effort.
I did that when I was when I was like 23 years old, and I had a fake tree. My first spot in Kansas City, I assembled the fake tree. I was real happy about myself. I bought like a 6-foot fake tree. Then it was so lazy that thing was up in July. Just humiliating. Yeah,
July.
Yeah,
none of the women that came over to visit you said anything about
they commented. There weren't that many.
Wow, you beat my record. Yeah. I think I was mid-March. You crushed me.
I took it down when I moved. When I moved out of the spot.
I'm waiting until I move.
That place was disgusting. Like, just the lowest of the low. I was an adult in occupation only.
Isn't that what college is for? You get that out of your system so you have some respectability once you get to the real world?
I had none. I was a late developer. I don't know what to do. I'm not proud of it. But yeah, I was 24 years old with the Christmas tree up as one of the only decorations in my spot in July from the previous Christmas.
That is right. I always maintained it would look cool. If you like the look of a lighted tree, just do it with seasonal ornaments. It would be real easy after the first of the year to transition to a Valentine's Day motif, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And then when you
get hearts, red.
If you wanted to do something for St. Patrick's Day, you could. Or if you could just eagerly anticipating the beginning of spring, you can do all of your favorite spring activities with baseball, fishing. If you're a griller, I've got a grill ornament for the Christmas tree, so that would play for the spring tree.
Yeah.
4th of July, you get the ceremonial the bunting.
Sure. There are all kinds. I could make that tree cook. I could give it 6 different looks over the course of a calendar year, and I think it would look great.
When we welcome back football.
Oh, you better believe it.
All 32 logos on the tree.
Good morning, football tree mob.
Oh, football tree. Oh, football tree.
Who do you
are looking dandy?
How lovely are thine branches?
Oh, God.
The Mexican rim.
Mob.
Mexican
rim. All right.
He meant the rim on a backboard. It was probably...
Oh, good clarification. Yeah, thanks, no problem.
Shep wasn't working blue here.
No, never. Who do you love is a mere formality at this point, but we will go through the motions towards my demise coming up on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
George Thorogood, who I have met. George Thorogood, really, really, really neat guy. No doubt about that.
I still obviously have no idea what I'm doing, but I'll take the under 51 in Packers-Falcons.
Nope.
I love the under of 51 in Chiefs and Ravens.
Ties. You bet.
I love the Texans minus the 5.
Wrong.
I'm not sold on the Houston Texans. I still think Houston wins that game since it's at home. 5 points is too many. Give me Indianapolis.
All right.
Danny likes the under in the Packers and Falcons game. Getting 5 points, I love Atlanta.
Nope.
And finally, the Bears. I'll take the 3 because it's there, but the Bears are winning this game, damn it.
All right.
Chi-town, shut down, mob.
I'm going to take the Texans laying the 5 against the Colts.
Wow.
Let me make it official. I love the Texans.
Wrong.
Steelers and Raiders, too high of a total for these two teams. It's 51.5. I'm going under. In fact, I love the under.
You're right.
Bears and Rams, Sunday night. The total is 51.5. That's quite a disparity. You get the same?
I do. I get the same thing.
I love the over in Bears Rams.
Under would be the key word.
Yeah, who do you love?
Every Friday afternoon during football season, we give you our 3 best plays against the number. It's Who Do You Love? For so many years, Chicago's most preferred handicapping segment when it comes to the National Football League. Parkins needs to, well, it looks like you need to win out. Almost, you'd have to win out to get the top slot. You would have to win 5 of your last 6 on the year just to tie Shep. If he goes winless, you got to go 5-1 these next 2 weeks just to tie him. Danny, 0-2-1 last week on the season, 15-24-3. Delaware George has a question for you.
Who do you love?
Cannot wait to host overnights with Les. Who Do You Love? Brought to you by Bet Chicago for betting and fantasy football coverage. Download the app today and bet for free. Mac, I'm going 3-0 this week. Cowboys defense, they're great. Indianapolis, inconsistent. It's a high total. You know, I've been looking for these unders recently with all the talk of the high point total. I'm going under 47.5 in Cowboys and Colts. Also, I'm back to my bread and butter. Betting against Eli Manning, the Tennessee Titans. They're playing for somewhat of respectability.
Yeah, they're above 500.
Yeah, they got a real squad. Sure, they're on the road in New York. Odell Beckham is out. The Titans are only laying 1. We see what happens to Eli Manning when he doesn't have Odell Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
He's the worst quarterback in football. Mm-hmm. I like the Titans laying the 1. And then this number is just way too big. The Dolphins still have playoff dreams in the AFC. We know that Minnesota is inconsistent. Sure, they're licking their wounds. Sure, they have something to play for. Sure, they're at home. 7 and the hook with both teams with playoff aspirations. That's way too many points. I love the Dolphins.
Who do you love?
I like the Dolphins in that one, too. Not enough to move on them on Who Do You Love, but I agree with your logic there. Shep is making a move. He was 2-1 last week, crawling his way up to the 500 mark. 20-21-1 on the year. Nikki?
All right, since it's available on Bovada, I can technically use it, right, football-wise? Stag Bowl tomorrow. I don't have to ask you much about Division III football. But
you're such a coward.
If you were to ask me, or if I were to ask you for a team, you'd probably say Mount Union rings a bell. They've been to the championship 16 of the last 18 years. Now they
score a lot of points, don't they?
They don't win it every. Yeah, well, last year they only won 12-0.
Oh,
sometimes they do score a ton, sometimes they don't. But they won last year 12-0. What I see on Bovada, they're somehow an underdog in this game. Mary Harding Baylor sounds like a hell of a lady. I love Mount Union, though, getting 3 in the Stag Bowl. NFL-wise, sometimes you just have to tip your cap to a quarterback. Sometimes a quarterback just has a team's number, has a franchise's number, and there's nothing you can do. Tip the cap and sit back and take the beating that they are going to give you. I looked to Pittsburgh for that result this week. In his career in the regular season, Tom Brady, 8-2 against the Steelers, 11-2 if you factor in playoff games. Never lost a game to Pittsburgh after the month of October. Patriots laying 3. I love New England there. And finally, you know where I'm going with the last play of the week. Call it revenge. call it coming of age, call it turning of the tide, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be an ass beating. Bears, my friend, lay in the six. I love the beloved.
Mob.
Who do you love?
Shocker, he's going in that direction. I was 1-2 last week on the season, 21-20-1. Get you started tomorrow, 3:30. It's the Texans and the Jets from New Jersey. The Texans, they're going to be ornery after their winning streak was stopped by Indianapolis last week. And the Jets are coming in off a decent performance against Tatanka, the Buffalo Bills. I think there are going to be a lot of points scored in the game. The total is a scant 41.5. I love the over in Texans and Jets. I'm going to do it one more time, and only because I don't like the Arizona Cardinals. The Falcons are hosting the Cardinals Sunday at noon. Atlanta is a 10-point favorite. Josh Rosen leads the NFL in one category I can think of that he didn't expect in this first year, and that is pick sixes. He has thrown three of them. Make it four Sunday when my guy, DeMonte Kazee, picks one and goes to the end zone. Atlanta should roll in this one as much as I hate him laying the 10. I love the Falcons and the Bears at Soldier Field on Sunday. If I'm calling 33-14 as the final, and of course, how do you get to 33? Well, you score four touchdowns, you kick a field goal, and you have another fat guy with praying hands above the head in the end zone. I'm taking the Bears minus the points. I love the Bears.
Mob.
Yeah, who do you love?
Shunk-a-tonk, shunk-a-tonk.
Both of you guys, who do you love on the Bears?
That's been we've only had a couple of those this year where two guys picked the same game, and I think we've been on the wrong side every time it happened. You and I both had Houston last week.
That's true. That is true.
I think it was only one other time this year where, I don't know if it was you and Shep or Shep and me or you and me, but just a couple of times where we've had duplicates.
All right, well.
Yeah, last week was the Colts-Texans thing, and besides that, next to none.
I'm just bad at coin flipping this year. 15-24-3 against the number. It's despicable. It's a disgrace.
Well,
I'm embarrassed.
Bring it up with Grobber.
I will.
What are you? Bring it up with Grobber.
I plan to. I can't wait to learn.
You going to bring in food for him?
Of course.
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever he wants.
What do you bring, Grobber?
I don't know.
Whatever's left.
A crawler or what?
I have no idea. It'll be great.
Well, press box food is always acceptable.
If you don't get your meat, you can't have any pudding.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. This is my dream.
Was that Les doing Pink Floyd? Was that Les? Wow.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. I thought maybe it was a movie drop.
Some of your tales of Christmas laziness are things to aspire to. We might circle back around to that.
I like Touch Me from 1969.
There it is. The more you know.
He likes the Doors, too, along with Julio.
Olin Krutz.
It's overnight Julio.
Overnight Julio. Can I request a day that Julio's in? That seems appropriate,
yes,
right?
Yeah, I would request that.
Okay, good.
I may show up just to watch.
No, you won't.
No, I won't.
No.
No, I won't. So will the Facebook stream be up? Will Gertz be in for it? Think he might make a special appearance for it?
Oh, boy, I wish we had a camera on Gertz right now.
Yeah, hell no. We'll talk to Olin next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.